In your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. Would you stand as we read God's word? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for another Lord's Day in which to come into your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the singing, for the fellowship, for the Sunday school hour. And now, Father, we pray that you would bless the opening of your word, that you might give me the message, that it might be yours and not mine, that you might speak through me what you once spoken, the Holy Spirit might take that message to the hearts of individuals, and, Father, that they might get what has been brought to them this morning by you. I pray, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross, remove anything that would interfere with the message, Father, and help me to be clean in your sight. Ben, be with those traveling or will be traveling. Father, as we go through the holidays and begin a new year, we pray that we might set our eyes upon you and what is first and foremost in our lives. We just thank you so much for loving us, and bless the ill, bless the infirm, and meet their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've just come through the Christmas season, as you're well aware of, and last Sunday we talked about the meaning of Christmas, the start of Christmas, where it came from, and all of that kind of thing. We talked about the fact that in the background of Christmas, that before Christians took on the Christian concept, that there was a pagan emphasis back to that area, back to the pagan gods, back to the Roman gods, and that kind of thing. In which, as they were coming out of the winter solstice and looking forward to spring, they did not want to be unhappy. They did not want to have despair. And so they believed that some of their gods would give birth to the sun god. And so the sun then would light and light the world. And there's hope for the future, you know, and not all is in despair, but we've got the new year. Of course, we don't believe that as Christians, but in the early days of that, some Christians, to be able to get along in the pagan areas where they were and with pagan leaders, adopted some of those practices in their home. But as I said last week, and I'm not going to go into all those details, that eventually Christianity began to take on these things. And as they did, they took on the symbolism not from paganism or for paganism, but they took symbols and attached them to Christianity. And that's why we have Christmas today and some of the decorations and so forth that we have. One of the things that I talked about last week was that there's a lot of light around Christmas time. You have the angels. You have God giving light and radiance, if you would. You have the stars. You have the star that led the wise men. And so there's a lot of illumination. And what I'd like to look at with you today is, first of all, in Genesis, where we've looked, and that is the Bible in the very beginning. This is really just the start of things. Right back there, it tells us in the Bible how it all started. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. We could actually close the Bible and go home and end with that, in one sense of the word. Because that is the final word. There is really no more discussion. God didn't spend an elaborate bunch of chapters or books trying to explain how God originated, where he came from, how that there is light out of darkness and all of that. It just, God makes a very simple statement in his word, in the beginning, God. So in the beginning, there was God when there was nothing else. Before everything, there was God. In the beginning, God. But it goes on to say that he created the heaven and the earth. So he created everything that you and I know. He created it. He made it himself. He put it into being. And you read the rest of the chapter and you see how God did that step by step in that creation. But I want you to notice what it says, that the earth was out form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the waters. So God has created a world, but it is formless and it is dark. And God's Spirit then moves on the waters, if you would, and on the face of the waters. And then we have the first recorded words that God spoke. These are the first recorded words that we have in the Bible, because the Bible tells us in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And it concludes with, and there was light. Really interesting, isn't it? In the beginning is God. There's nothing else. He creates. It is formless and dark, and God speaks and says, let there be light. And it happened. There was no question. There was no argument. There was light. And the Bible says that God saw the light, and he realized it was very good, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And there we have the passage about day and night, etc. I don't know about you. I've always loved light. Not just the lights of Christmas trees or street lights or whatever, but I've loved light. I know that in Arizona here we have the dark skies and all of that kind of thing. I enjoy the dark skies. I like looking up and seeing the stars and the moon and everything that we can see at night. But at the same time, when I'm in a place that I don't know where I am and I am looking for something to eat or am I looking for a motel, it is very frustrating because there are not the tall signs that we had in the Midwest and the light that you can see. It's kind of hard to have both of them, isn't it? But light is something that I enjoy. I don't like sitting in a dark house with all the window blinds down and everything else, and I can't see outside and see what's going on. Now, if you're one of those people, that's fine. That's all right for you to do that. But that is not me. When I get up of a morning, the first thing I want to do is open the window lights, blinds, let the lights in, and I want to be able to see. I like light. The Bible, as it's talking about light, it talks about light in two different aspects. And we could follow the Hebrew and Greek words down this morning, but I don't think you really want to do that. The reality of it is there is light that you see. There is light that illuminates. And then there is the light that is the glory of God. And there are really two different things and two pictures that we see, but they all come from God and created by God. If you look at the Word of God in John chapter 1, and John chapter 1, in a sense, is the equivalent to a part of Genesis 1, because John chapter 1 says, in the beginning. Do those words sound familiar? In Genesis, in the beginning, God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. What is the Logos? The Logos is literally the spoken, as well as the written, as well as the living Word of God. So what we know is that, as John tells us, and we see, that this is talking about Jesus. So if you want to put that word in there, John says, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, without going into a discussion of the deity and all of those scriptures, if you go back to the beginning of Genesis again, and eventually when God creates man, what do we hear? Let us make man in our image. Let us. Who is us? One God in three persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The deity is there. We have here Jesus is one with the Father. The Bible says that all things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus made it all along with the Father. And in him, that is in Jesus, was life. Life came from him. Human life emanated from him. But spiritual life comes from him also. And the life was the light of men. Do you see the word? The life was the light of man, gave him light for his darkness in which he was. And the light shined in the darkness of a sin-filled world, but the darkness was not able to overcome it, if you would. It comprehended it not. It didn't really realize what it was in many cases, but it was not able to put it out. The Bible tells then about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it says, he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. Do you see the description, the metaphor for Jesus Christ? He is the light of the world. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It goes on to say in verse 14 that the Word, that is Jesus, was made flesh, which we see at Christmas time, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Or in other words, we beheld his light, if you would. The glory as of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was the light of the world, and is. He gives life to mankind. He gives light to mankind. And we behold the glory of Jesus, and we see it at Christmas time, but we see it at all times of the year. And that is, he is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you see in some Christmas stories and in other pictures of Jesus when he was younger, and sometimes Mary and other people, you will see halos around them, that glow of light. Jesus did not walk around with a halo on his head, but Jesus emanated the glory of God. It flowed out of him. And when you looked at Jesus, you saw that glory. You saw what he was and who he truly was. Now, as you think of this, I like to look at the Bible and see that in Genesis, God created physical light that we know. He created physical light that dispelled the darkness. It also metaphorically is saying that he dispelled the darkness of sin. But when you get to the New Testament and you talk about Jesus Christ there, it is more talking about the spiritual light that comes to get rid of the spiritual darkness and bring spiritual light into our lives. So you see that Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, created light which dispelled the darkness in a dark world, but they also created spiritual light that dispels the darkness of sin in a spiritual world so that we have the light of Jesus Christ. In your Bible, sometime you might look at Exodus 40, 34 to 35. I'm sure you've read it before. A cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's with the children of Israel. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of God was shown in a visible way. When the tabernacle was there and God's presence came on the tabernacle, it was seen in a cloud, if you would, a cloud of glory. And when the cloud covered, the temple itself was filled with the glory of God. So you could literally see the glory of God. We call it the Shekinah glory of God. And you could see it. Moses couldn't enter because the Shekinah glory of God was so powerful that he could not enter in during that time until a later time. In 2 Chronicles 5, verses 13 to 14, when it came to the temple, the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, and the music played and all of that, and they cried, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. So now tabernacle, and now we have the temple. More than once, God shows his glory, which we see and we can observe as the Shekinah glory of God. And it showed the people that God was in his tabernacle, that God was in his temple. You remember when they were going through the wilderness. The Bible says in Exodus 13, 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The visible presence of God. He is going before his people, and when they looked up and the cloud moved, they followed it because this was the glory of God that was moving. The pillar of fire at night. And when it was there, if you read in the Old Testament, you find that not only did the pillar and the fire, cloud of fire, lead them, it also stayed between them when they camped and their enemy so that the enemy could not come upon them. So God came to bring physical light into this world, but he also came to bring spiritual light into this world. And God gives us that physical light that we see in the moon and the stars and the sun and all that we see. But we also see the glory of God in his radiance revealed from time to time in the lives of people. Remember the plagues that took place in Egypt? There was a plague of darkness in Exodus 10, 21 to 23. The Lord told Moses to stretch out his hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. Do you understand what that means? Have you ever been so dark you could feel it? If you've ever been in a cave or someplace and they turn the lights off and you can't see anything, that darkness is so heavy you feel it. There was darkness that came over the land. There was not one light to be seen. And Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven and the darkness came and it lasted for 3 days. Can you imagine pitch dark for 3 days, not seeing one thing? They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But I always like those divine conjunctions. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. What an amazing statement. God brought darkness on the Egyptians for 3 days. They could not see each other, but right next to them, the Israelites all had light in their dwellings. God, who made the light and gives the light, provides light however he decides to do it. He showed his glory by protecting his people so that they were not touched by the darkness. Remember Exodus 34, 29 to 35, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, the Ten Commandments. When he came down, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone. He had a glory. What was the glory? The Shekinah glory of God was reflected in his face from being in the presence of God. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Can you imagine being so filled with the glory of God and the radiance of God coming off your face that people can't even hardly look at your face because of the power of God that's emanating out of you? And do you realize that's not just possible to Moses? That's possible to all of us. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so they saw the face of Moses that the skin shone, and Moses had to put a veil on his face because the people were so distracted by the power of God emanating from him that he had to put a veil over his face at that time. 2 Corinthians describes that to us more fully if you'd like to read about it sometime about what that really meant. When you get to the New Testament, and you have John, as we've already talked about there, talking about Jesus, the Word, the light of the world. In John 3:19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Do you know that there are people who actually like physical darkness for the wrong reason? And that is, under cover of darkness, they commit their sin and do the things that they want to do. But this is also talking about spiritual darkness, that Jesus is the light of the world, bringing spiritual light to a sin-darkened world, and men loved their sin, they loved their darkness, because their deeds were evil. In John 8:12, Jesus spake unto them and said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What a beautiful statement that is. I'm the light of the world. I am the one who created life. I am the one who gives spiritual life and light and physical light. And if you follow me, you will never have to walk in darkness. You think of the glory of God as it's revealed. We just had Christmas season, and in Luke 2:9, what does it tell us? The angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory of God shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. A visible presence that they saw, not just the angels, but the glory of God that shone round about them. But you know, the amazing thing is the Bible tells us, remember again, Genesis tells us what? That God created light. That is, physical light God created. In John, we're told that Jesus is the light of the world, not only physical, but he is the spiritual light. And we know from John and other passages that Jesus came and died for mankind, was buried, and rose again that they might have eternal life, to bring spiritual light into a spiritually dark place. But the Bible says in Revelation someday that we're not going to need the physical light. There will be no night there. They do not need a candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22:5. In Revelation 21:22-25, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it." You see that? The sun is not going to lighten the new city, the physical sun that we see, but the Son of God, the glory of God, shall lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. What a beautiful statement. God is the light of the world physically. God is the light of the world spiritually. And one day when the sun won't shine and the moon won't shine and the stars, we don't need it, because the glory of God is so powerful that it will light the entire city. In Isaiah 60:19-20, it says, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun no more go down, the moon withdraw itself. The Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of mourning shall be ended." In 1 John 1:1-7, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, and we have seen with our eyes, and looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life, the life was manifested," and goes on to say, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." What a tremendous statement. You remember in the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you've got Jesus and the apostles, disciples he brought up there with him, and he was transfigured before their eyes. And the Bible says his face did shine as the sun, and his robe, his raiment, was white as the light. In verse 5 it says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is the God of the physical light, and he is the God of the spiritual light, the creator of both. As you know, I came from Missouri. I like the sunshine. I don't like the rainy days. I don't like the cloudy days. I know we need them, but I don't like them. I like the sunshine. If I had my way, it would be sunshine 365 days a year. Okay? That's just the way I am. I love that light. As we come out of the winter solstice and as we look to the future, and in some states especially where the problems are, in some parts of the world where it's so dark, there's joy and happiness at the future of more sunshine and more brightness. But the Bible tells us we have a day to look forward to where there is eternal light. And it will never be dark, and it will never be gloomy again. You remember Saul's conversion? The Bible tells us that as he was headed to persecute Christians, he came near Damascus and there shined a light from heaven round about him. And it was quite a light. He tells that story in another place. And of course, it was the glory of God manifested in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. That's who we just celebrated. The one who created physical light, and the one who created spiritual light. And the one who keeps physical light going, and the one who keeps spiritual light going. Jesus, the light of the world. We live in a dark world. I don't believe anybody would argue with that. We live in a world of sin. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to bring light to that darkness. The darkness could not put the light out, but much of the darkness did not accept that light. But he still keeps trying today. And he wants to give us light that emanates out of the inside of us. He wants to give us life that will never stop flowing and that other people can see in us. I look at lights at Christmas time and other times, and it reminds me of the light of God and what he does. But I'm also reminded of the spiritual light that lives inside of me because I'm a child of God. And that should emanate to all people that they see God's light in us. God made the physical life. He also created the spiritual life. He made the physical light and created the spiritual light. And he wants you to know it in a marvelous way. I enjoy the moon. I enjoy the stars. I enjoy the sun. But more than that, I enjoy the presence and light of the Son of God who lives inside of me. That's what it's all about. And that's what he wants you to know and what you experience. As our musicians come, we'll have a word of invitation or time of invitation, a song here. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he would like for you to know him. He would like for you to invite him into your heart and life. If you say, preacher, I don't know how, I've never really understood. If you will come, I'll be glad to talk to you about it and pray with you about it. Christian, if you say, you know, I don't really have the light of God flowing out of me like I think it should. I know Jesus is light, but I just don't feel that presence. He can give it to you. He can give it to you. We're going to take down some decorations. At home, we've got a Christmas tree, and we're going to take the Christmas tree down. We've really enjoyed that light. We really enjoy the other sceneries that we have in there. And as Sandy said, it's kind of a sad thing to take it down because you're used to that. It kind of picks things. But you know what? you can take those down and it goes back to a dimmer light. But if you're truly a child of God, you can't take the light of God out of your heart and life. It stays burning brightly, and that's what he wants to do. So if you need to do business with him today, come to the altar. It's your turn to pray. Would you stand as we sing? Thank you for being here today. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock, our Bible study over at Fellowship Hall. Have a blessed and happy new year. Thank you for being here today. Fred, dismiss us, please. Still.